scripture today. We have two readings. They're in your bulletin if you want to follow along in the Pew Bible, or just relax and listen to the Word of God. This is the prophet Isaiah in chapter 49 and his promise to the people of Israel that they will return to the promised land. Isaiah says, "This is what the Lord says. At just the right time, I will respond to you on the day of salvation. I will help you. I will give you as a token and pledge to Israel. This will prove that I will reestablish the land of Israel and reassign it to its own people again. Through you, I am saying to the prisoners of darkness, come out. I am giving you freedom. They will be my sheep, grazing in green pastures and on hills that were previously bare. They will neither hunger nor thirst. The searing sun and scorching desert winds will not reach them anymore. For the Lord in his mercy will lead them beside cool waters, and I will make my mountains into level paths for them. The highways will be raised above the valleys. See, my people will return from far away, from lands to the north and the west, and from the south as Egypt. Sing for joy, O heavens. Rejoice, O earth. Burst into song, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on them in their sorrow." And the second reading is from Psalms chapter 118, starting at verse 19. "Open for me the gates that the righteous enter, and I will go in and thank the Lord. Those gates lead to the presence of the Lord, and the godly enter there. I thank you for answering my prayer and saving me. The stone rejected by the builders has now become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous to see. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Please, Lord, please save us. Bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God shining upon us. Bring forth the sacrifice and put it on the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever." This is the Lord, the word of God.
We continue with a New Testament lesson from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at the first verse. Listen now for a word from God. Paul is writing and says, "We urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, 'At an acceptable time, I have listened to you. And on a day of salvation, I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and in dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and as yet well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians, Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I'm very glad to be with you today. I think I might even be a little more glad than David Rogers is. just a little. Not you could measure it. It's just, but I've been preparing. A couple weeks ago, we had Vacation Bible School at the church that I'm serving now, and it was hot. It was hot. And I thought, instead of complaining to my wife, I thought, you know, Tampa's hot. Depending on how this vote goes, maybe better get used to it. But we were at Legoland yesterday, and as we were walking in from, you know, the concrete radiating all the heat, and I took time to put on sunscreen and sweated about half of it off, and I swear as we walked through the arches of Legoland, I could see very tiny writing that said, "Abandon all hope. Ye who enter here." It's hot. And I was drinking a lot of water, and it reminded me of this time several years ago when I was running with a friend. We arranged to run, and we were going to go early. He works at the university, and he takes care of the pool, so we're going to meet in his office near the swimming pool, and we're going to walk down to the street and start our run. And we planned to be there early, but he ran into a couple people that had some questions about the pool, and so I kind of had to wait around a little bit, and all that good, nice, cool air sort of melted away. So we started our run a little bit later than we wanted to, and I don't know your experience of running, but my experience of running is that usually in that first mile, my knees and my ankles say things like this: stop. Please stop. Or they'll say, Michael, look behind you, look behind you, look behind you. No one is chasing you. Stop running. So after that, you know, after they said that, after that first mile, they just say things like, "We will get you for this." You know, they're out of breath. They can't complain anymore. And so we ran. It wasn't a long run, maybe 3 miles or so. But at one point, Jeff says, "Now we could go back, or we could go a little bit farther." And my knees and ankles start saying, "Say go back, say go back, say go back." But my lips were completely ignoring my knees and ankles, and they said, "Oh, maybe a bit far." So we go another 15 or 20 minutes, and we come back to the university pool. We're walking up the hill. And normally when I finish running, I wouldn't say I ever got like the runner's high that I've heard about, but usually I felt like, thank goodness this is over. And so I didn't have that, though, this time. Instead, I had this weird feeling like it would be good to sit down. It'd be really good to sit down. And as we got into the university, into the hallway, I thought it'd be really good to sit down. And I sat down right on the floor in the hallway. And I thought, ah, this is good. You know what would be even better? Just to lay down. Just lay down right on the floor. People do that all the time. I see adults laying on hallways, floors all the time. Go ahead, just lay down, Michael. And I did. I laid down right on the hallway floor, and my knees and ankles said, "This is what we thought would happen. This is why we told you, stop. Stop running." So I lay there, and Jeff is standing there, and he's skilled in CPR and first aid, and he looks at me, and he tries not to make any sort of, you know, facial expression that indicates I'm in a lot of trouble. But he says, "Hey, Mike, I think you should get up and just get in the pool. Just get in the pool right now." People get in the pool fully clothed all the time. That's the thing I've never told you about. But yeah, go ahead. I don't remember if I took my shoes off. Don't remember if I took out my keys or wallet or anything like that. I do remember socks, shorts, shirt. Bloop. Right into the pool. And I felt sort of like Mario must feel in Super Mario Brothers. It was like, boom, boom, boom. I was back. I've always heard the phrase, running on empty. You know, there's a Jackson Brown song, running on empty. I physically was running on empty. And that is a common experience that we have, physically, spiritually, emotionally. Sometimes we catch ourselves running on empty. We have this common experience, you and I, of emptiness. Little girl, blonde pigtails, pink yellow kitty backpack, clutching her sleeping bag. First day of camp. None of her friends are there. There's tears forming in the corners of her eyes, and the caring camp counselors can't overcome those tears. They're going to come. She feels empty. She wouldn't say it that way, but she feels empty. Seminary student, last year, it's a Sunday afternoon. He's got to write a 15-page paper by tomorrow. He's done it before, don't worry. Topic is very open-ended. 15 pages on what do I believe now? After all these theologians have had their say, he's heard thousands of theological words, and now he stares at a blank screen and feels empty. He knows what his parents believe. He knows what his committee believes. He knows what the church believes. What does he believe? He's coming up short, coming up empty. There's a mom at home. Husband's left to go to work. Kids have been launched on the bus. She's got a day to herself. Can you believe it? It stretches out in front of her. She has a piping cup of coffee. She pours a little half in, half in, and sees that little nebula that comes with the creamer opening up into the space of blackness there. But she feels another space of blackness opening up. All that promise of the day is gone, and instead it feels empty. We feel this emptiness from time to time. If you watch the news, you feel empty, right? And especially what happened this week with the church in South Carolina, it's not too hard for us to feel that emptiness. And that's why we come here. We come here, we gather together, we open our hearts if they're empty, and they're filled up. They're filled up and they overflow with friendship and belonging. They fill up with all these things, community. And as they open up and fill up, they're poured out and shared with one another, and we offer our hearts to each other. We open wide our hearts in this place. That's what Paul wants. He wants us to open wide our hearts. That's what he says in 2 Corinthians. If you ever feel a little bit troubled by your church family, if you're ever discouraged, and if you're not, see me after. You need to read 2 Corinthians because it will cheer you up. Those people have problems. They struggle with their faith. Now they struggle with Paul, with his apostolic authority, because some new evangelists have been through town, and they have very nice clothing. Their shirts are tucked in. They wear a very fancy belt. Their hair is done just so. He calls them super apostles. And so the faith of the Corinthian church has been shaken, and Paul's got to build that back. And he says it pretty sternly, not as stern as he speaks in Galatians, but it's right at the end of our reading. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is open wide to you. There's no restriction in our affection, only in yours. I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also. Paul's in a little different situation than maybe we are. He wants them to open wide their hearts to build back that trust. We want to open wide our hearts as we come together for worship, to feel the bonds of friendship and belonging and meaning and purpose. We want to open up our hearts to fill that emptiness. And as we do that, they're flooded with those things, and we share them with each other. We offer our hearts to one another. Look around. Look around all the people here today. Look at each other. You get to look at me, but look at each other. I'm looking at you. You know, I'm looking at all of you. It's hard to see all of you all at once. All of you have gathered here physically together. You've gathered. But there's been gathering happening all morning. Before you got here, you negotiated the sophisticated roadways of Greater Brandon to get here, right? And before that, you probably had something that passed as a nutritious breakfast. Before that, maybe shower, got dressed. Before that, maybe the cup of coffee, that important sacrament that many of us celebrate alone. You know, you did all that. You gathered what you needed to come to this place in order to open your hearts to one another. And as you open your hearts and you gather, you offer your hearts to one another. There's all sorts of offerings going on, right? It's not just the offering that's in here. There's all sorts of offerings. In fact, this bulletin is an offering. It's an offering from the office staff. They offer this bulletin to us so that we don't feel confused. Sometimes that happens anyway. And the words on the screen are an offering. That's something for me to get used to. We don't have a screen back in Kirksville, Missouri, but I'll get used to it. And we offer the music. What wonderful music. Let's have a round of applause for the music. I mean, that's amazing. That's an offering, right? We make our offerings. And you're offering your attention to me, most of you, and I appreciate it. And I'm offering this thing that passes for a sermon to you. It's an offering. It's no mistake that John Calvin, our great-great-granddaddy, his personal seal was a hand lifting up a heart. And around it, it said, "I offer you my heart, Lord, promptly and sincerely." We offer our hearts, filled up, overflowing to one another. And I think we offer more than that. I think as we gather for worship, as we gather as the people of God, even as we're sent out into the world, we offer our affection to one another. Paul says, "We have not restricted our affection. Only you have restricted your affection." Now, I'm not talking about the kind of affection where my first move as new pastor, if elected, would be to bring back the holy kiss during the passing of the peace or something like that. I still have post-traumatic stress from my first congregation where there was a woman, she was a big kisser. And the passing of the peace was a time for her, Elizabeth will remember her, she wanted to kiss me on the face. And it's hard to pass the peace with someone when you kind of, yes, the peace of Christ be with you too, you know, it's tough. That's not the kind of affection I'm talking about. When Paul says that he wants them to be affectionate, he's talking about compassion. He's talking about compassion. They have been affectionate with the Corinthians. They've been compassionate. But he feels he's lost that compassion. You know, when we're in a meeting and it's tense, we need to remember that there is more than one good answer. We need to tell ourselves, you know, Michael, my answer isn't the only answer. Their answer is a good answer too. When we are dealing with someone who frustrates us, we need to think to ourselves, I have no idea what they've brought with them to this meeting. I have no idea. That's offering compassion. That's offering the kind of affection Paul wants. We offer that. We offer our attention, right? We offer our attention to one another. It's Father's Day. And something I hear a lot in my house, maybe other fathers are with me here, I hear a lot of dad, 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 dad. More A's are added to the word dad as it goes on. And I realize I'm not paying attention. Moms have an even worse time than this because of the letter M. Moms get mom, 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 which somehow is even worse than that, than dad, 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 dad. We need to pay attention, right? Mother Teresa said that prayer was listening. She listened to God, and someone said, "Oh, what does God say?" She said, "No, no, God listens too. We are together, and we are listening." Well, that's paying attention, and that's what we can offer to other people. We can offer our attention. And lastly, and this is the hardest one, we can offer our afflictions to one another. We might not want to, but we can offer our afflictions, not just the good stuff in our lives, but offer what's hard, what we struggle with, what's difficult. Paul is very open about all his afflictions. He's got a long list. He wants us to offer that as well. I've been so impressed with the PNC of this congregation. I hope you know them. They're wonderful people. And what I've been really impressed with was the way that at meetings they gather, and toward the end of the meeting they share what's really going on. They share what's great in their lives individually, but they're also willing to share their hardships, the things they struggle with. They're willing to offer their afflictions to one another, and that has made the bond so tight. That's what's made their faith stronger, I think. And that's what we can offer as the church, as the people of God. We can offer what's good, but we can also offer what we struggle with as we offer even our attention and our affection to one another. We can offer our afflictions. Now, I heard you sing it before, so let's sing it again. I'll do my part, you do yours. This is the day,
this is the day
that the Lord has made.
I will rejoice
and be glad in it.
And be glad in
it. Okay, stop. We don't want a revival to break out. This is the day that the Lord has made. That's what the psalmist says. Today, as it is, not maybe as we would have it, and that's something to remember when we struggle. This is the day the Lord has made, and not as I would want it to be. That involves a little acceptance. But this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That's why Paul kicks it off in the little passage we read. He quotes Isaiah 49 that David read so well. See, this is an acceptable time. See, this is the day of salvation. Why? Because today we have an opportunity to open wide our hearts to one another, to feel the rush of friendship and community and purpose and belonging that are all part of God's love as they fill up our hearts and as our hearts are offered to God, back to God, but also to one another. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. As a way of responding to a full heart, not only do we offer it to one another, but we respond by sharing our faith. If you feel comfortable, won't you please stand and join me in the affirmation of faith printed in our bulletins. Let us say these words together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.